Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Hey, welcome to this edition of Culturally Canceled. This is one of those episodes where, you know, it's great that I get to celebrate my friend, but it's sad that I'm celebrating him because he passed away. This episode is dedicated to my dear friend, Kangol Kid, Sean Fekwier. And for those who don't know, he was on my very, very first episode of Culturally Canceled with him, Smooth B, and Lord Finesse. And subsequently, he came on again with Eric Bauza. And then he came on again on another episode. And he was a very good friend of mine. And just 1 year ago, he was perfectly healthy and staying with me in my house. And less than a year later, he's passed away, succumbed to cancer. So this goes out to the legendary Kangol Kid from UTFO. The hit song Roxanne, Roxanne, which changed my life in 1984. And this episode goes out to you. I love you, bro. I'm a hip-hop guy. People know that about me, that I love hip-hop. I grew up with it. It shaped my life. It made me the way I am. It made me talk a certain way, act a certain way, be a certain way. And I'm here with three of my heroes who are also three of my very dear friends. On my left, I have Smooth B from the legendary Nice and Smooth.
Yes, sir. What's up, baby?
There we go. And across from me, we have a guy who defined my ninth grade for me. He's Kango from UTFO.
She said so. I said so. Baby, don't you know? Just thought I stay on cue, man.
He does stay on cue. He's very good like that. And on my right is my right hand brother, the underboss himself, the funky technician. What was that other name that I didn't know you had? What was that other one?
The Ace of Trades.
The Ace of Trades. Hey, Lord
check
Finesse.
It out now. Yeah. The Funk Soul Brother right about now.
Yeah.
Funk Soul Brother.
So yeah. We're just here. We're sitting in the back in my backyard. And so if you hear wind noises or helicopters or airplanes, that's because we're doing this shit outside.
And they're coming to get you.
Well, you're Haitian. And no. I'm Canadian, so they're either coming to get you or me.
Right. No off switch with this dude. Right. None.
So we don't really have a plan. We don't have a plan with this podcast. We're just kind of going to talk. Look at you, Smooth.
Oh, man. Man, listen.
When did you meet Kango? Did you meet Kango back
then? Oh, man.
Then?
Yo, Kango is the coolest, not just because you're here. This is a cool motherfucker. See, let me tell you something. No. I'm going to talk about Kango. I met Kango in the Latin Quarters, right? Latin Quarters. Now, Kango. Ooh, Roxanne, Roxanne. This dude is up in it. He's up in the Latin Quarter with the Kango. He was like back then.
What year
was,
is this?
This is 87. 87.
You had already started working with Bobby by then?
Yeah. And I used to get in free in the Latin Quarters with Bobby. No matter of fact, it was 86. 86. Summer 86, you know that was a hot summer in the quarters. Oh, my God. It started to taper down 87,
sure,
88.
Sure, yeah.
But 86 was the fire. So every New York club I frequented with Bobby, I got it free, of course.
Of course.
So everybody was like, that's Bobby Brown cousin. That's Bobby Brown brother. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, long story short, I was riding that car. I came up in the Latin Quarters, and my man, you know how you see a character that's like savoir faire is everywhere. Or like, this dude was like a Valentino of rap. I'm telling you, no, that's how I saw this nigga. Because he had the shorties going crazy. And he had, lyrical content, fly, intellect, and was real with it and approachable. Kengo ain't never act funny style. You know what I'm saying? Same with Ness. Never act funny style. And with Kengo coming out before myself, he made me understand that lyrical content could exist. You know, of course, in that era, of course, you know, we had Melly Mel. It was lyrical. It was the best of the best. But you added another entertainment vibe to it, swag and singing. You know what I'm saying? Bringing it back to routines. And so I love that. And it made me say, I got a place in this shit to meet you. Boom, Latin Quarters. Broads all around this nigga. He just so fucking cool. This motherfucker, I think you had a fucking scarf on or some shit.
I probably did.
He had some fucking.
Matter of fact,
in the summer.
It's just four guys sitting here and he's wearing a cravat right now.
Yeah. Whatever.
He would be, this motherfucker wearing ascots up in the Latin Quarter. You know what I'm saying?
What's an ascot I ain't got?
Yeah. So he got the fucking, the shit around it, the scarf and shit, everything matching. Got the scarf to the side like, bitch, I'm Kengo. They all going crazy. They around him. He got his composure. He's just so fucking cool. So I was like, yo, what's up, man? He was like, hey, what's up, brother? How you doing? I'm like, all right. I was like, yo, I'm Smooth B, man. I'm coming, nigga. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, all right. What's up? I wish you the best. I was like, my man. That's all I needed back then. Wish you the best. My man. You know what I'm saying? And it was that type of thing. And then as time went on over the years,
you became my brother. Bro.
Yes.
Good afternoon, man. Young rapper. I, too, am a big rapper.
Yeah. With his scarves and shit on.
I know, but he didn't want to be an MC.
Mm. Nah. I fell into that.
Ain't that some bullshit?
I wanted to be a vocalist, a songwriter, entertainer, watching Tom Jones and... Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah, my people.
Yo.
Fell into the whole rap thing because it just became an easier way for me to get into the biz because I was already writing songs. Right. And so the attitude was, hold on, so you're saying I can do what I've been doing without having to sing it? I can just say the words I've been writing? Right. Oh, I got this. And I just fell into it just like that, bro.
Man, ain't that something?
Yep.
You blessed the game.
Who wrote Roxanne originally?
We all did.
Man,
that is absolutely one song that I will say every member did their part in that song. I wrote my verse, Doc E. Everyone
who
wrote
came up
verse.
With the concept.
Be Fine, a Full Force.
Wow, good old Be Fine.
Wow.
Be Fine came up with that. The record company wanted us to do a B side to a song that we presented to them. We delivered a song called Hanging Out. And
did that come out?
Yeah, it came out with Roxanne because what the record company wanted was.
Wait, was that on the flip side?
Yeah, it's actually a double A side. They're both on the same side. Like side A is Hanging Out and Roxanne vocal. Side B is Hanging Out and Roxanne instrumental.
All right.
Yes,
so it was
a
double A side.
I do remember this now.
You know? Wow.
And so
I remember that flimsy ass 12-inch, Sean. I must have had the UK copy or something.
I'm sure.
I'm
sure he did a lot of flimsy copies.
It wasn't spine on it. It was like those flimsy UK ones.
I'll give you some trivia right now that I just bug all of y'all out. Mm. We're being told as we speak today at the end of 2020 that Roxanne did not go gold.
Jesus Christ.
It didn't? That's bullshit.
Thank you. Man. So when you say you got your flimsy copy, I'm sure you did. I'm sure Jesus a lot of people Christ. Got theirs.
Oh, you mean it sold enough copies to go platinum?
Oh, we know it did. Yeah,
that shit went multi-platinum.
We know it did.
So who's fucking who? Was that select fucking people?
That is correct.
Yes.
Was it that mob shit that was happening back then?
I don't know what it was, but I'm telling you, as we speak today, 30-something years after the success of that song,
and
I'm being told-
you ain't go go?
I'm telling you, right. One of the biggest rap songs in rap history didn't go gold after 30 years.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Yeah, that's
who's crazy. Telling you that, though?
The owner of the label.
And
of
that's
course.
When you're supposed to, you know,
yeah, that's
show
it goes.
Them what the hand said to the
that,
face.
That's the, I agree, bro. And trust me, that has
very
close. No way
that's
in
when
the
a nice lawyer
like
audit comes in handy.
Yeah,
man.
It probably tells you you still owe money then.
Oh, yeah, of course that's being said. Yeah. Believe it or not.
What a shady ass.
Nah, Roxanne, that had to go platinum the way
hell
it was
yeah.
played.
The amount
that's
of records that record spawned?
So much shit. And so you going to tell... Hey, and he's still keeping a story
still
up. He ain't even like...
Nah.
All right, you know what it went gold.
It went gold last year. It went gold. See. Like, oh my God, it just went gold.
Right.
Nothing.
Nah,
36 years later. No, still nothing.
Yep, still nothing.
You know, good try, guys. Good try.
You're about 100,000 away from that.
Oh, yeah. That's fucking that's corny. Crazy.
Yeah, just thought I'd share that.
Yeah, man.
So, yes, Be Fine and Full Force came up with this song because the label wanted us to give them a B-side to Hanging Out. And we
I don't even remember Hanging Out because I'm pretty sure I skipped right
hanging
over that
out, song. Cooling Out, Without a Doubt, It's All About Hanging Out.
Oh, I definitely didn't hanging play that out record. And cooling out. I don't even like it when you're doing it right now.
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
All I remember is Roxanne.
We spent 3 weeks on that song.
I don't even think that ever, I don't even think my knee will ever hit that record.
Yeah. Like, I played that and the instrumental. That's
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the record company said, we want something for the B-side. And we were tapped out of ideas at the time. And Be Fine says, all right, look, let's just do a song about a girl named Roxanne. We said, okay, why Roxanne? He said, I like the name. Okay, fine. What do you want us to write about? He says, Kang, I want you to write about how you're trying to get with her and, you know, you're kicking it to her and so on. But at the end of the song, you don't get her. I said, all right, fine. E, I want you to do the same. And at the end of the song, you don't get her. Doc, you do the same, but at the end, you get her. I'm like, whoa, stop, stop. Why he got to get her? And so B goes, all right, fine. Nobody gets her. Like, all right, fine. So we all went home and wrote our individual raps. And we had no idea what beat we were going to do this to. So B said, you know, we'll just do a different beat for everyone. Again, that was his idea as well. Yeah. So I said, well, I got a beat that I did at Howie's crib. You know, can I use that beat? And he said, yeah, without even hearing it. That's how much we all cared about this. Because Full Force is a hands-on production team. Nothing
I think
goes
people,
past them.
People also don't understand how much Full Force
have
contributed
done.
To music
right.
overall.
The culture.
Right. Oh, well, this is before all that happened.
No, I know. But I mean, it just shows you like, didn't they write shit for the Backstreet Boys?
Sure. NSYNC.
NSYNC. NSYNC. All them hits.
All of that.
Fucking
all
Samantha
that.
Fox.
All that.
I remember looking at pictures of Samantha Fox.
You said, I remember. Hey, we caught that.
We caught that. Well, she was always topless.
Uh-huh. You got tongue-tied.
I didn't get tongue-tied. I meant to slip that out.
But don't poop.
I remember this is going to happen every week until JB gets his money.
Oh, yeah. That's the
Crush Groove.
Crush Groove. Crush Groove.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which we were in and got edited out.
Yeah, you
did you?
Yeah. That's another little story I'll share in a minute.
I'm going to have to ask Russ if he can send me that footage.
Yeah, I would love to get that. I would love to
see
that.
I'm going to ask Russell.
Yeah.
So we presented the song. We did this in 3 days. That's how much we cared about it. 3 days. Gave it to the label.
So to you, it was a throwaway.
It absolutely was. That song was not, in my opinion, supposed to be what it became. Absolutely not. In fact, we're the dudes telling the DJs, Hanging Out. That's the hit, man. Play that. They're like, nah, Red Alert, Chuck Chill Out, Mr. Magic. Right. Nah, Roxanne, that's the hit.
Woo!
Okay.
DJs know better.
Like, go ahead, play whatever you're going to play. Fine.
Look at that.
And that blew up.
Man, that shit was through the sky, bro.
Courtney, you know about that song? Oh, look at you.
Ow.
Courtney's
Roxanne,
our producer.
Roxanne.
Yeah, Courtney.
I want to be your man. Roxanne, Roxanne.
Yep, yeah, y'all.
Did you guys happened. Harmonize on that?
No, we all sang the chorus. You know,
man.
That was it.
Yeah, man.
I can't believe it did what it did.
Man.
Still
what,
can't.
What song are you most proud of?
Wow, that's a great question, man.
I'm encompassing everything you've done.
I was just about to ask, are you saying for what I've written for UTFO
anything you have done?
Okay. My answer to that is a song I wrote called Right Next to Me for Whistle.
Was that on their album?
Yes, it was on the album. It went top 40 on the pop charts. And I think it was top 10. Yeah, I think it was top 10 R&B. Man. And the reason why is because what that meant to me when I wrote it and the fact that they performed. Here's a great story with that. So Whistle started off as a rap group.
Yes, I know. They irritated me with that.
Right. The bugging.
Because Just Buggin' was such a dope record for me because I was DJing. I already started in 85. So when I got Just Buggin', I was like, yo, this shit's dope. I can't wait to hear what else they got. And the next thing I get is, always in right. I'm like, you motherfuckers.
You go further back.
And I'm like, wait, you're doing the same shit Force MDs did to me.
Right.
When they were the Force MCs. Force MCs. Then they came out with fucking Tender Love.
Let me say this about Whistle.
That was a classic.
Whistle is actually,
yeah, it was a good song.
Whistle is actually the first rap group to become an R&B group. Though Force MDs, we know them as Force MCs, they never recorded a rap song.
I know, and that's what
they never recorded a rap song as Force MCs. When they first came out, it was
I was about to say Itch and For Scratch.
Nah, that, that was after their first joint was
Forgive Me Girl.
Forgive Me Girl. Was it Forgive Me Girl? Oh, there was another one.
Let Me Love You.
Let Me Love You. Was it Let Me Love You?
Let Me Love You.
Let Me Love You.
It was Let Me Love You, right?
Right.
Yeah, so that was their first single. So they never recorded a rap song. Whistle recorded a rap song and had rap success.
And that's the thing. I don't even know how I knew back then that the Force MDs used to be the Force MCs, because I was in Toronto. I was just like, wait, wasn't there the Force MCs?
That's probably the battle with Cold Crush.
Sure.
Right? It had to be that. It must have been that.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
those tapes were big.
Why is it so close to the Force MCs?
Harlem World battles.
I got those.
See? That's how you knew.
Yo, dude, you got to make me some of those, man. I need to.
Oh, I'll put on a stick for you. Hey, yo.
So that's how you would know about that. But so right next to me would be it, because so we recorded the song and
was this all on the same album with Just Buggin?
No, was it? That's a great
Just
question.
Buggin.
I don't know if Right Next to Me was on that album,
because that was
I don't think so. I don't know if Right Next
that was the only rap song they did, isn't it?
No, there was a few raps on. They had Just For Fun was another rap song. There was a few. I don't remember what was on there, to be honest. But Right Next to Me wasn't on there. Still My Girl was a song on there. They did do a few battles on the first album. Still My Girl, Chance for Our Love. So we did Barbara's Bedroom. I don't know if you remember that.
No, I only bought the 12-inch. And then when I looked at the album, I saw the titles. I go, this don't sound like hip-hop to me.
Right. So the second album was called Transformation, which was the group transforming from a rap group to an R&B group.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the album that we had Right Next to Me on. So Video Music Box, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Uncle Ralphie.
Of course. Yeah. Was having an anniversary. And anniversary performance and filming of the show. And the hit at the time was Right Next to Me, which was the ballad for Whistle. But the crowd thugged out hip-hop dudes, and it was more dudes in the audience than there were chicks.
Yeah, people don't understand that about hip-hop events back in the day. People are like, oh, it must have been so many chicks. I'm like,
nope.
You'd be lucky if you found two.
Nah. Sausage fest.
Oh,
nothing
yeah.
But dudes. Out in this hip hop joint, and so here comes Whistle, slated on the timeline or whatever on the list, to do their ballad.
Oh boy!
Among all of these,
where
thug
was this
dudes,
again?
I forgot what venue it was.
Was it in New York?
Yeah, it was in New York. Okay. New York. And so one of the members said, "Nah, I'm not doing it." Jazz from Whistle. Jazz said, "Nah, I'm not doing this." And we're like, "Look, this is Ralph's event. Ralph asked us to come down. We can't say no to Ralph, bro." And this is at the show. It wasn't days before he saying no. At the show, and you're next to go on. No, I'm not going on. Too many dudes out there. I'm not doing this. And so they were like, yo, forget you. They voted on it, and they decided they're going, and he didn't go on with them. So three out of the four members now go on stage. Luckily, the lead was done by Craze.
So it's just Whist.
That. All right. So they get up there as brave as possible, singing this R&B ballad, this love song among all these dudes. And all of the dudes was like, yeah. I'm like, yo, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
Yo, talk about music calming the savage beast.
Right.
All of these cats were like hands in the air. And I'm like, yo, you gotta be kidding. And as I'm watching my group sing my song.
Right.
And calm this whole crowd of dudes out, I teared up.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, this is crazy that I wrote something that has this power.
Effect. Yeah.
That power, bro.
Yeah.
Yo, so that would be the answer to the question. That song right there has done so much to people who have said to me, that was the song that I had at my wedding. Mm. Or when I think of this song,
I gotta hear the song because I don't know the song.
You don't
at
know
all.
Right Next to Me?
Unless I hear it and then I go, oh,
goodbye,
I didn't know that.
It's time for me to go. Mm. I'll call you in the morning so I can let you know. And it was done a few times by a few other acts. Left Eyes, God rest her soul, R&B group Black.
Oh, BLAQ?
Right.
Yeah.
They did a remake of it on their album. That album went platinum. So that's my biggest song.
Wow. Nice. I didn't know this. I know you had a. I know you did Just Buggin'.
Mm-hmm.
The song that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Yes.
See, to me, Just Buggin' is so important to me, and as a DJ, remember in the DJ world,
sure,
because
Jazzy Jeff made that song his with the whistle, the way
that,
he cut that whistle.
That ooh. Well, that was Cash Money and Jazz. They both
yes,
kind of
this
did.
Is true. The Philly connection over there. You're right.
But
you're
then right. Steve D when he juggled, bam, 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 bam,
yeah,
and that's when I first saw somebody beat juggling, making beats with it.
He made it sound like a Jamaican joint.
And that's when he took the end. I was like, yo.
I bugged that when I saw Jazzy Jeff take that whistle when it goes. We're called yo.
No,
that, that whistle is in Will Smith's biggest song, Get Jiggy With It.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's all in there. Yeah, and where's my plaque?
But I remember seeing.
Right. You got plaques coming, baby.
I remember seeing Cash. I remember Cash Money and Marvelous, and that, and he'd be like, "Yo, Cash, what'd you say when you saw that girl?" And they play it backwards. Rear, bam,
nice.
And then he would just cut. Oh, that shit was so dope.
Wow.
And that's probably why I didn't buy the Whistle album, because I was like, the fuck are you doing? Just make some choices in life here.
Now, but you know what? Let me explain.
And I get it now. I'm an adult, so I get it.
Well, let me share this part of it with you. Whistle became my outlet group because it got to a point to where the members of UTFO were vetoing songs that I bring to the table. So I'd say, you know, I think this would be a great song for our next album. Nah, I'm not digging that now. I'm not digging it either. I'm like, okay, so I'm supposed to trash this now? This thing that I spent all night writing, I got to put this in the garbage now? Like, nah. So I created another group that everything that they would turn down, I'd give it to them.
Yeah.
And I create even more beef because now it's like, oh, you're giving them all the hits. No, I'm giving them your rejects, bro.
Right.
I'm giving them hits. I would have loved to have this here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, on the West Coast, they went backwards with it. You got Dre, who was in the World Class Wrecking Crew, who did R&B, and then he went into the most hip-hop, fucking gangster group of all time.
And I did that in reverse with Whistle. Right.
Yo, and look, to add on to that, Dre, World Class Wrecking Crew went on the road with Bobby. Like, his first King of Stage tour was World Class Wrecking Crew, Club Nouveau.
Sure.
And Ready for the World.
Sure.
So I used to watch them every night. Wow. And I see them come out and it... I'm the doctor. And you know, doing that shit.
Yeah. All in character.
I just be laughing like, yo, he's like, this is wild.
And makeup.
Yeah. Yo, dude, I saw it with my own eyes. And then when he came out as Dr. Dre, I had no idea.
Right.
And then somebody exposed it. It was like, he was World Class. And I was like, World Class, right?
Cool. And then, remember, Eazy-E did that later. Remember when he had beef with him? Right. He put that picture out of Dre with the doctor uniform with the running.
Yeah, yo, dude. So I was like, oh,
and
shit.
And Michelle A was in that.
And then memories start going through my, like, we passing each other on, like, we on the road.
Sure.
You know, we in hotels. I'm like, yo, what's up, y'all? You know, because come on, man. You know, we know. So we from the heart of it. Right, from the essence of it. So when you get an opportunity to travel the world, all that shit is exciting. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a damn if they up there doing some shit that's like a knockoff or float on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, float on. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Eat, nigga, we on the road.
Sure.
So I'm just bugging out like, that's their shit. You know, and watching Club Nouveau. I'm just trying to soak up game. But I would see him all the time.
Yep. Well, where was Ready for the World from?
Michigan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I was not ready for that.
Flint. I think it's Flint, Michigan.
Yep, they were from Flint.
Wow.
And those were some real dudes. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, me and dude, Melvin, we hit each other on Instagram now.
What?
Yeah, because he clicked like on something of mine. I was like, hold up, is that the real Ready for the World dude?
Right.
So I hit him, you know, DM. I was like, yo, we got to stay in touch.
Are they all still alive?
I'm sorry?
Are they all still alive?
I don't know about all, but the lead singer is,
Yeah, they need to go back on tour, dog. There needs to be.
Them dudes.
Because they do a lot of those reunion tours.
Sure.
And then there's a lot of people that don't get put on them. I don't know for whatever reason.
Right.
I don't know if it's with the artist or with the people forgetting that they...
It varies. No, it'll vary.
It just has to be done the right way. Because the problem is they go... A lot of... I'll tell you as a fan, because I'm not in the music world. As a fan, I'll look at some of those things. I go, look, I only want to hear them do the one song. And once they go into their B tracks, I don't care.
Right.
Like, there was a reason you only had one hit. Just sing the fucking one hit and keep it moving. You know what I mean? Like,
I think my worst thing is seeing with the older artists that we love is when they say, now we're going to do our new joint.
I agree. God, I agree.
You'd be like, oh.
Yo, that's
now.
That's,
now I'm
that's
gonna the go downfall. To the
bathroom. Right. That's the lowest point of the show.
Yeah, because
I didn't come here to hear your
you
new stuff.
You be praying that it's gonna be decent. You know it's not gonna be decent, but you give that hope. Like, I hope this be dope.
I don't want the beat to come on, and
then they still rhyming in that old format. It's
now
like,
here's what's funny about what you just said. You're addressing it from the audience point of view, which I agree with.
Right.
I'm the dude on stage
with the rest of the group saying, we're not doing anything new, bro. The audience don't want to hear that. Nah, nah, we got to push this, man. We got to let them know that we still got it. I'm like, you're killing me, bro. You're going to hurt us right. with this pitch you got right now, bro. Right, don't right. do it.
Right.
And I wish that they could hear you from the audience going, I didn't come here for to that. Hear a new song.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm caught in the middle on how do you get this to not happen?
Right.
You know I say mean? Do the new shit first, slip it in like
hey, yo.
20 you slip the song in like 20 to 30 seconds, you know, and if it ain't working, then you can say, oh, we was bullshitting. Let's
something,
do the new
yeah.
let's right. do the shit you know us for.
Right. Something, bro.
Right.
But again, it's a real hard place to be when you're the artist dealing with the rest of your group members Ooh. Who wants to defy what you just said.
Man.
Yeah.
I'm like, my dude, go ask Ness. They don't want to hear no new song.
Right,
bro.
Right, right, right. You know, and that's that funny part, man. You know what I'm saying? I guess that happens in all groups.
Yeah, man.
It happens in all groups.
I find myself jealous of solo artists, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Being a group member,
yeah,
like damn, I wish I could just move the way Chub Rock moves, the yeah. way Big Daddy Kane can move,
yeah,
the way Dougie can move,
right?
You know, because there's no voting. Right. He makes a decision. That's how it's going down.
That part.
Well, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm solo, so I understand that's right. everything that's you mean, no, exactly. and everything you say, and you know. But I produce everything when it's because I'm a producer, DJ, artist, so I do all three. So. When I hook up with my DJ, he got everything. He got the instrumentals. He got everything I feel like doing that night. He got there, but he got all the instrumentals regardless.
And you address what you want to do first, second, third, how you want to come out, yada yada yada.
Except when he gets drunk. Now, if Blind gets drunk,
ooh, not cool.
He's gonna slip in the songs he want to hear me perform. Like he
That's
knows.
That's not cool.
He knows I do not want to do Strictly for the Ladies if it's a bunch of dudes
right.
in the
right.
crowd. We're not doing that song.
Right.
Because it is Strictly for the Ladies.
Right.
Now, if we come in, we come in a spot and he sees some females,
uh-huh.
oh, we doing this shit tonight, Ness. There's
cool.
ladies in here tonight.
You're like, that's the cool. bouncer.
Yeah. yeah. right.
And, you know, he'll put the song in. I mean... When me and this dude is performing, it's like a comedy sketch up there because he's drunk, I'm drunk. We
oh damn,
we just doing, but it's we functional alcoholics. You
right,
know,
right.
we're not the alcoholics that go up there and mess the whole show up.
Right.
We actually look forward to getting drunk before the show.
Right,
I can't do that.
We sitting in the background. We sitting in the dressing room just. Take he might back. Have his vodka or Henny, whatever we want to drink for the night, but
yo,
you know,
I'm the hip hop the hip hop nerd, I guess. When it comes,
I gotta.
I wouldn't just narrow that down to hip hop.
Okay, for doing pop, nice one.
I gotta have a drink before the show. I need something that's gonna unwind me, so I could go up on stage and be this dude I'm about to become.
Yo,
sober, it's just not fun. Sober,
I feel like. It takes over me if that happens. If I'm a little tipsy or whatever, I'm not in full control and I want to get, my high is that crowd screaming. So I want to get that and I want to stay sober through it all. I can't do it. Like after the show, sure, I'm fine with whatever. But beforehand, because I've had that happen like once or twice where I probably had a little bit too much before I went on and I'm like, yo, what the hell? And I know I'm not in control right now. This is not cool.
But you said it right. It's the energy of the crowd. And but that's what I'm working on. So when I'm on stage, I want them to understand that, look, man, I'm coming to perform. This is going to be fun. Mm-hmm. We're going to vibe out. Like it's like you got a couch on the stage.
No doubt.
I'm talking to the crowd. I can look all the way in the back. I'm pointing out things that they probably don't even know. Yo, you've been recording like the last three songs. Would you right. try and get your subscribers up? Like, come on, man. Cut the camera. Wait up. What phone you got that last that long? You
right,
know,
right, right.
you do certain things to the crowd that they go, yo, he's spotting everything. Right. So he's performing, sure. but he's looking at everything.
Sure. He's in the room.
Right.
And then you know right, I gotta make my disclaimer when I get up on stage.
Oh, you tell them
yeah, man. All y'all Fonzie motherfuckers that think y'all too cool a party, Go to the fucking back. Let people who want party. I don't need you fucking grilling me while I'm performing, man. You know, uncross he your arms. Just be too cool. Like, you know, you killing it. Yo, he killing it.
Oh, my God. Right?
You know. I got a date with the Hooper triplets after.
Yeah, so now I make the disclaimer and they go, oh, shit, he's on some other shit.
Right.
You know, I ain't coming here to for y'all to face fuck me the whole motherfucking show.
Face fuck me.
Right. Yeah.
You know. I love it. Yeah.
I want to go in there. I want to do the show. I want to have fun. I want y'all to party. Because you, why would you pay your money to come to just grill somebody? Like, what is that? You know?
Agreed. But that was our mentality back then. Remember, our generation was the ice grill generation. Everybody had to be hard, mean looking. And now this generation was like, that's too intense. We're just going to do whatever the fuck we want to do. We're going to do goofy dances, not make any sense when we rhyme, but we're having fun. That's the only thing I admire about this younger generation is that they're having a good time with it.
But when you see certain artists present that energy, that's what made the show just to see Run DMC. I'm going to say Run DMC, right? You see them perform, you be like, God damn.
Right.
You know, a certain artist that I seen just.
Have used to do that.
Let's say KRS-One, if you ever been to a KRS-One show, he do 3 hours, man. I've seen him throw tennis balls out in the crowd.
Yeah, he throws the tennis balls out.
And put them up in the, you are holding the world in your hands. And I'm like, yo, this, everybody, man, he would just destroy it. He's the one who taught me how to do medleys, right? Because people go on stage and they do one song, stop, the crowd, clap. Do another song, stop, the crowd, clap. No, he taught me how he would go from one song to another song to another song. Like he
like
built
a mega
that
mix.
Shit. Yeah, man. And would destroy it. That was the best thing I think I loved about the 80s and the 90s. Because if you performed and you sound like your record, that was the shit.
That was the shit. I hate when I go to a show now and it's like your favorite MC's on stage and his fucking man's saying the punchline for him.
Yeah, that's goofy.
Triple beam.
Or the days when
triple me.
Or the days when they come on with 20 dudes on stage. And I'm like, okay,
where's
my rapper?
Now,
where's the guy I came to see? Who the hell are you guys?
Like, if you're going to do it, right? I've seen the perfect group that would do that was Leaders of the New School. Like, you got certain
they all had
groups.
Their own voice, that's why.
Yeah, but they would do the ad-libs around whoever was rapping, and it felt right.
Right.
You know, because the harmony was right. Yeah. Right.
Right, right, right. But so, that's the way they did it on the record anyway.
Right.
They did it that same way on
so
the record.
So he's talking about the dudes that go up on stage, be all out of tune, all out of key, and shouting the ad-libs, and they sounding like louder than the artists. Yeah, I get what he's saying.
Yeah, it is. Their angry fucking hood friend that they brought with them. Mm-hmm. Yo, I'm going to take you on a road with me. What am I going to do? I'm going to be on stage with me. And you'd be like, all right. Yeah. It's Lord Finesse. Rhyme Vet! La Biggie, I'm ready. Die! And you know, you're fucking up the song. You shut your friend up, please, Finesse. Right. Whatever the fucking deal is, it's annoying as shit.
Nah,
because
I would get that. And then what
I love Rakim, but live? When he decides to do it live, and he can sound like himself, but then sometimes he just turns the mic on the crowd.
Yeah, he does it differently now.
And I'm
now,
like,
he lets them.
Everybody
lets them
wants
it
to hear his voice.
They
want to
hear that
so
voice.
Dope. But it's funny, as you say that, and I agree.
And I love it. I don't really take no offense.
The crowd wants to say it too.
Yeah.
And that's why he lets them do it.
I get it, but sometimes
kick but not
the speaker
every
and
song.
I,
and they all go, like he lets them finish it out.
I get the
but
call
not
and response.
Most of the song.
Yeah, I get the call and response. I don't want, I paid to hear you, not them.
Right.
Nah, but.
That tactic used to work for me. Like if I forget the lyrics, that happens.
No, I get that's a perfect move.
The minute I forget the lyrics, I'm this dude. Yeah. Mike in the audience, y'all sing it.
Right.
Because I'm.
Yeah. No, that part I got to do that. I'll definitely let them finish that.
Yeah.
Because
I'm. Can't go.
Yo.
I'm not the type of person who passes out easily. My brain just doesn't seem to stop going. Even when I'm really tired, I definitely need some help in that area. But taking a sleeping pill did not feel like a good choice for me, so that's why I turned to CBD. And luckily, I stumbled across one of the most effective CBD brands out there, Papa and Barkley. And I've been sleeping like a baby ever since. Papa and Barkley creates award-winning CBD solutions for pain, stress, sleep, and everyday wellness. And unlike less effective CBD brands, they have an unmatched, clean, chemical-free whole plant process with proven results. For my sleep issues, I've been using the regular strength relief drops in lemongrass ginger. And just a few drops before bed really helped to calm my mind. Before I found Papa and Barkley, the gears in my head would keep turning even when the lights went out, and I end up lying in bed for at least another hour. Now that I'm using regular strength relief drops, I really feel like I can let go of my day finally and drift off easily and quickly. And because Papa and Barkley is committed to using CBD in the purest, cleanest form, I sleep even better. And the story of how Papa and Barkley came about really makes me want to support them as a company. Papa and Barkley founder Adam Grossman created the groundbreaking relief balm to ease his father's debilitating back pain. From that powerful homemade balm, Papa and Barkley has expanded to a full line of topical balms, oils, tinctures, and capsules, all made with 100% natural, clean ingredients and whole plant, full spectrum CBD. Today, they're the number one cannabis wellness company in California, and with their new CBD relief line, they can ship nationwide. Their CBD relief balm delivers hours of comfort with simple plant-based ingredients. In an at-home use test with over 300 participants, users reported a 40% reduction in daily discomfort in just 1 week of using the balm. The award-winning CBD oil, Relief Drops, is their fastest metabolizing daily wellness option for easing daily stress, discomfort, and supporting a good night's sleep. Papa and Barkley is on a mission to improve lives through CBD in its purest, cleanest form possible. Go to papaandbarkleycbd.com/Peters for 20% off your first purchase. That's 20% off for new customers at PAPA and Barkley, B-A-R-K-L-E-Y, cbd.com/Peters. Hey everyone, this week we've got my conversation with the master of voices, Eric Bauza. Plus, Kangol Kid from the legendary group UTFO joins us this time too. He just happened to be in the house and I pulled him into the thing. So this is good stuff, people. Get into it and enjoy.
Remember Kangol Kid from UTFO? Remember Roxanne Roxanne?
Yeah.
Oh, he's right here.
Hang on. Okay. Who else? Who else has been in this living room? The door is wide open. I feel like anyone could just walk right out.
Pretty much.
Well, there he is. Holy shoot. The legend himself who made the Kangol Kangol. Excuse me, sir. You were just on the screen. If you want to hop in the pilot's chair, you're more than welcome.
Fill in.
How have you been,
sir? I don't need this, right? I don't need that.
Yeah, no, you're all good. You're good. Right. Yeah.
What's going on, y'all?
Not much.
Hi, girl!
Yeah, Kangol, the Kangol Peters show.
Yes, yes, I am he. I am he.
Where are you coming from right now?
I am coming from Venice Beach.
Very nice.
Let's see, I did an interview early. I was on Big Boy's radio show.
Oh, nice.
Not his radio show. We filmed it.
Okay.
So he has a new show coming out called Flowers.
Okay, is it on a, like, is it a podcast form or is it like...
I'm not sure what he's doing exactly.
Because, I mean,
he's well connected.
I was going to say, how do you get up at 5 in the morning and do a morning show and then still have the energy to talk in the evening? And
didn't they film it this afternoon?
Yeah, we did it this afternoon. I believe it's going to be launched sometime in September, I believe. But he's getting all the guests together, doing their thing, and it was a great interview, man.
Legend to legend, I'm sure.
Yes.
I will be tuning in to
fan
that
to fan is what that was also, right. Man. It's crazy when you see two celebrities meet each other for the first time.
Right, right.
That's the epitome of fanhood.
See, fandom. This is still a fan celebrity moment for me. I don't know.
Gotcha.
If I mean,
that's Kangol from UTFO.
I am he. I am he.
That's how this podcast goes, guys. We don't know.
Yeah, you don't know who's coming in.
It is what it is.
We don't need invitations here. We just pop up.
That's good, man.
But, have a different mic. You good?
Yes, yeah, so I was here a few months ago smoking a cigar.
Now, this is the place apparently to be smoking a cigar.
And that's not what I do, but when in Rome.
When in Rome,
yeah. I was in here with...
Huh? You want a cigar?
Oh, let's make that happen, yes. Yeah. Let's see if I still know how to do this thing.
Flavored ones, I got them.
I accept.
Flavored ones.
I got one of those Javas on the top shelf on the right, the light skin box.
What is the flavor?
Latte.
Would you like one?
Maybe I'll have
grab
one.
Grab two of those,
you know,
bring them over here.
I might as well. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity. So
you do cigars? You don't? Okay.
Then it's going to make me sound less of a boy and more of a man, and that's good for voiceover.
I sometimes think I'm a rabbit duck.
Ah, yeah. Yes. I was bought. Yeah, I was told.
You got the Kangol Kid and Bugs Bunny. You got a ting with animals, I guess.
All righty. Very so how nice. Do we do this again?
Oh, pull your tips off, Ayo.
Yeah.
Just rip off your tip.
Padoom poop.
Put it in your mouth, Ayo.
Okay, so hold on. What do I do?
Put it in your mouth.
Oh.
Just do not inhale it.
So for the ones only listening, we are smoking cigars.
If yes. Don't inhale, Eric. You will be very unhappy with yourself if you inhale.
So this will be the new favorite go-to. How did you discover these, Russell?
So a buddy of mine, Rocky Patel, he's a big I know. He's a big cigar maker, and he makes obviously the Rocky Patel brand, but he also has another one called Java.
Yeah.
And these are the Javas.
Damn, dude.
And the Javas are flavored. They have the latte, which you're smoking, and they have a chocolate.
Yep.
And then they have a chocolate cherry.
Okay.
And a mint.
Mm. And this is the latte,
though, right?
No, it's good.
So yeah, we would go to Eaton Center. There's like this little like place right by the Eaton Center where you could get cigars back in high school, and that's where me and Steve would go to get our cheap ass cigars, like the Phillies Blunt and the Swisher, Swisher Sweets and all that stuff.
Yeah, those are not really cigars per se. Yeah, those are not really meant for smoking. I think they're more meant for
rolling.
Yeah, rolling.
but we use them as cigars.
Remember Colts? They were like the cherry grape flavored ones. They were actually, they had like the little tip on them, plastic tip.
The plastic tip. You used to pretend to be the penguin when you smoked those things.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
But he was just talking to Big Boy, Big Boy's neighborhood.
Big Boy. Ding, 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 ding. Big Boy's getting his star on the Walk of Fame on September
10th. Yeah, man. I want to come to that, man. I was talking to him about that.
I told him I wasn't going to be able to be there for it because I was supposed to be somewhere else, and now I'm going to be here.
Nice.
So I called him, and I was like, yo, I can do it. He's like, man, Russell, you are a man of your word. And
see,
I am.
You have range, Russell. I think if we can, if you're comfortable, we should work on a new voice demo for you and just
show me
see
how. You probably have everything range. In your house, right?
Mm-hmm. I got a nice booth, separate booth from the house, and the whisper room, and I just invested in a really like sick microphone, like $5,000 mic, the U8 Neumann.
Is it
Well, I mean, I can't
no,
even I, imagine.
I'm not mad. No,
you gotta put
your money where your mouth is, bro.
I was
literally
gonna say, yeah. I can't imagine
that's
the,
where his money is.
I can't imagine the microphones you must have performed behind.
Hello.
As far as you know,
we don't know
career.
How he got the record deal, but
no comment, my man. Right.
But yeah, I was just at a session where we were talking about ribbon mics and like
the ribbon mics.
Ribbon mics are the old school microphones, like RCA days, where it was just straight to tape, no digital.
Oh yeah,
all,
right.
All like powered by the preamps, like the size of like a car battery. You know, like
these
huge. Now everything's small and compact and doesn't take much. But ribbon mics, that's what Mel Blanc used to record Looney Tunes on. That was
there's really no room for error on those.
Well, I know, right? Like,
because you have cut the tape.
The tape was exactly that's how he got the job of Porky, because the original guy who had a stutter for Porky Pig. Nice to meet you, Kangol Kid. But the original guy was a real stutterer, and they would lose so much tape trying to get a take. So they hired Mel, who could imitate the stutter.
You could mock the stutter in a useful way.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I told the story. I'm not sure I told the story on here, but there was one time my best friend back home, Stacko, he was renting a basement. There was Indian people living upstairs. And he goes, I was going to Yuck Yucks or something. He goes, hey, guy, can we bring Raj from upstairs? He wants to come with us to your show. I'm like, yeah, sure. We get in the right before Stacko gets in the car and he's sitting beside me. No. Yeah, he's sitting beside me because he let this guy sit in the front seat, and Stacko's sitting behind passenger seat. And right before the guy Raj gets in the car, goes, "Hey, he stutters, so don't laugh at him."
Oh,
and I
man.
Go, "What kind of an asshole do you think I am? I'm just gonna fucking laugh at a guy with a stutter." But he didn't tell me what the stutter was. So we're driving down the 427, And I go, so Rod, you going to what are you going to college next? He's like, I'm going to go. Wow. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm and I'm trying not to laugh, but I'm shaking and I'm crying. And I'm like, and I'm looking at Stacko in the back in the mirror, and he's like, don't fucking laugh. And I go, you never told me a stutter was like this.
There's got to be another word for that, man. Yeah. It's not stuttering.
But then as he drank, he stopped stuttering.
Ah.
Yo, you know who did that? Aaron Hall.
Yes, that's from Guy. Smooth B told us that.
Yeah, man, that was him. He would stutter like crazy as well. Wow. When you're conversing with him.
But he was in control.
What? You get on a mic? He get in front of the camera? He's a different dude.
Yeah.
But just a simple conversation.
Yeah.
He would get in that mode.
Apparently James Earl Jones.
Oh, really?
The voice of Darth Vader.
What? A stutterer?
Apparently had a stutter.
Wow.
Wow.
Luke.
I am your
I'm your dad.
Since you're listening to this show, I think it's safe to say you love listening to podcasts, right? Well, you'll find a ton of binge-worthy podcasts, including Culturally Canceled, on Amazon Music. Amazon Music has more than 10 million free podcast episodes to listen to 1 week before everyone else, and ad-free on Amazon Music. And if you're more of a wine and true crime fan, Dr. Death Miracle Man is available 2 weeks early on Amazon Music as well. But Amazon Music isn't just for listening to podcasts. They have thousands of music stations and top playlists to stream for free. And no matter what you're listening to, you can go hands-free with Alexa. If you're like me and want your music on demand and ad-free, you have to try Amazon Music Unlimited. That gives you unlimited access to over 75 million songs, as well as podcasts, music videos, and more. With Amazon Music Unlimited, you can listen to any song, anywhere, offline with unlimited skips. After having R.A. the Rugged Man on the show, I definitely started doing a deep dive into all of his songs on Amazon Music. He's such an incredible MC, so if you need something to check out first, that would be my recommendation. Amazon Music makes it so easy for me to find the exact podcast or album that I'm looking for, and I know you'll love it for that too. If you've never tried Amazon Music Unlimited, now is a great time. For a limited time, new customers can try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 3 months. No credit card required. Just go to Amazon.com/Peters. That's Amazon.com/Peters to try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 3 months. Amazon.com/Peters. Renews automatically. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
That's Porky, man. He's saying the complicated stuff.
Is there a pattern to when he stutters, or is it just as your choice?
It just all depends, I think. I think it just depends. It could be anywhere. But it's usually the whole bit is like, oh, I see you got a nice automobile. Like, it's like he can't say the simple thing, but he could say the complicated thing.
Yes. We used to do that with rapping on the way home from school. We would make rhymes that didn't rhyme. So it'd be like, I was so thirsty, I couldn't think. I opened up the fridge to get me a beverage.
Yeah. But it still sounds good, though, man. I feel like that's how they rap today.
We would do that all day on the way home from school.
Yeah.
It'd be like, I was so hungry, I said, dude, is there anything in your house that we could... like, is there anything that we could have except for sustenance? You know, yeah. Just whatever. We'd just be like, right. Whatever the other word for the rhyming word was.
Yeah.
We would do
wow.
That.
Yeah. But that's jokes, man.
You know, like, interesting fact about Kangol. My very first podcast that I ever did, he was my guest.
The first podcast.
The first podcast. First podcast.
Then
first
how did you guys?
First
podcast. Fuck me! Podcast. Oh my god! I'm getting the ghost of Raj. The
first podcast.
It was me, Kangol Kid, Smooth B from Nice and Smooth, and Lord Finesse, who lives with me.
Really.
He's in there right now.
What? Holy shit.
Yeah,
man.
I live my hip hop dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, happy birthday, Kang. His birthday was a week ago.
Thank
really?
You. Thank you. Thank
about
you.
A week
still
ago.
Still your birthday week, man.
Still my birthday month. Yeah. Celebrate birthday all month long. 55, bro.
What?
I hit the double nickel.
Two nickels.
Dude. Yep.
Still looks like he's 20.
I accept. I accept.
Yeah. I'm 83.
Oh wow!
Filipino jeans. It's all that.
You look great for your age, bro.
It's all that lumpia grease.
You look great for your age, bro.
Lumpia grease keeps you oily. Oh, my wife makes amazing lumpias.
Really?
From hand.
She hand rolls.
She rolls them like a joint, which is a little weird, but you know, I guess old habits.
She had the tracksuit on. She's hip hop. That's dope, though, man. Holy smokes! Congrats on 55. 55 years. So wait, how did you guys meet then?
I was obviously a fan of his growing up. I mean, ninth grade for me, grade mm-hmm. nine, as you and I would call
grade
it.
Grade nine. Canadian style.
84, that was the biggest record around.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have two records in your crate. Roxanne was one of them.
Yeah.
And Egyptian Lover was the other one. Oh, and Jermaine Stewart, The Word Is Out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And Beatbox. So those four records you had to have.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have those if you were considering yourself a hip-hop guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never knew we'd become friends or I'd ever meet him or anything. You know, and then we met maybe about 7 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we met at, it was Melly Mel's birthday party.
Oh, I roasted him.
Yes.
I roasted Melly Mel for his birthday.
Yeah.
And that was at the Latin Quarter, the other Latin Quarter.
Right, right.
On Lexington.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Underneath the Radisson Hotel.
On Lexington.
Yeah. And nobody showed up, remember?
Right. No. Yeah.
Nobody showed up.
Yeah, no COVID.
How could that be?
And the sound system was all fucked up. The turntables are messed up.
Everything. You name it, it went down.
I had invited everybody. I was like, anybody should just come because nobody's here.
I would have been there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
No, it was. We made fun of it. We enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Had a boxer friend of mine there. Glenn, he was there, and
right.
I made fun of him. I said, my buddy Glenn Tappy is here. Glenn, lay down so they can recognize you. my favorite thing to do to fighters. Every fighter I know, I tell them, hey, you don't know this guy? Lay down so I recognize you. He used to sell advertising on the bottom of his shoes, you know, that kind of stuff.
God. And the boxers, of course, would get it 8 seconds later, you know.
Well, they'd have to get a 10 count before they got it. Hey, remember you can't do that on television? Ooh, why don't you do those?
Oh, God. That was, you know, we're talking about Canadian nostalgia, how odd the programming was in Canada.
I heard that.
Yeah, Barf Burgers.
Barf Burgers.
Yeah.
And Alanis Morissette was on that.
But that leaked through Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon ended up showing like a
Did
lot
they?
Of it. That's why like Nickelodeon had the whole slime theme.
Yes, I figured because I was like, that's ours.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So you got the whole Canadian thing going on.
We had the Canuck connection. We're both
the connection.
Gotcha. I'm Canadian. Filipino.
As am
Canadian.
I.
Exactly. Yeah, we're from the same native Toronto, Toronto, Ontario.
He's east side, I'm west side.
Yeah.
And you guys get along?
We're
Padoom-poo.
We never had that.
Now we are. Yeah.
The DVP separated us.
Yeah. That was back in the day. Have you ever been to Toronto?
Yes.
Many times?
We've done shows there in the past.
You were on Fresh Fest, came there, right?
Not with Fresh Fest, no.
Did you go on? You were on Fresh Fest.
I was on the first Fresh Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was dancing for Houdini.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, so I was on the absolute first one ever.
And Cool Rock Ski hit me up about doing a Fresh Fest documentary.
Oh, nice.
So I guess we'll talk to you about that, too.
Sure, sure.
We haven't started it yet, but we're just talking about it right now.
Sick.
I'm very involved in the nerdy hip hop scene.
Well, you're an aficionado, man. You got the turntables to prove it.
I got the turntables to prove it.
Yeah, man. If you have turntables in your living room, that's kind of bad.
Well, you're Filipino. You should have been a good DJ.
I was like, of all my friends, I was like the reverse. I was like, you know, I never picked up the ones and twos. I never.
What about breakdancing, though?
With this body?
I mean, you didn't always have this body.
I would break.
You earned that body. It's all that Looney Tunes money.
I'm telling you, that was my focus, was planting my ass on the couch and watching cartoons, and that was it. You know, that was my contribution to the gang. Like my homies back home is just doing impersonations of, like, you know.
You know what's funny is you guys did a Raccoons.
Yeah, that was like, it was on CBC. And it was like our environmental kind of conscious, you know, Canadians are always very pro green, and we're always thinking about the environment. They made an animated series about a family of wilderness creatures. And
all of our cartoons had to do with wilderness, or like children's programming.
Yeah.
We had Littlest Hobo, which was a...
Littlest who?
The Littlest Hobo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a hard, like,
what the hell?
It's a
not, children,
hobo,
what?
Not un petit, like, massy C.
Hobo with a hard B in the middle. Hobo. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was
a German Shepherd, right?
It was a German Shepherd that it was like our Lassie.
Yeah.
So it was like Canadian Lassie.
And then we had a show called Hammy Hamster.
I'm gonna look that
very
one
creative.
Up. I'll Hammy, make one just for you if you want.
Hammy Hamster was a show with these hamsters, and they would always put them underwater. And like, how many hamsters got killed during this production?
This wasn't an animated thing. This is no, real this hamsters.
The real hamsters
that they were drowning.
And then Hammy jumped in to save them. And then you're like,
and you know, there was no one on staff protecting those animals.
Yeah, there was definitely no PETA. There was no PETA then.
Yeah, they would probably be eaten right afterwards. Canadian hillbillies. But yeah, now I remember what you're talking about.
It was very low budget.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But Davy and Goliath, was that Canadian or American?
I think that was American. But Davy. That was huge.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on that.
Davy. And I never realized it was like all this Christian religious shit happening in the background.
Yeah, I didn't put that together either.
But then you think about Davy. Have you thought about Jesus today? And I'm like, that why was the like fuck a would line? I think about Jesus? Yeah.
That was like a line from the show.
Yeah. Davy, have you thought about Jesus today? And I'm like, no, but can you just get back to the fucking story? I don't want to hear about this. That was the, what was that? Stop animation, that was called?
Stop motion animation?
Stop motion, yeah. We did that on my Christmas special. Did you ever see that?
Yes.
We did a lot of stop animation stuff on that, just to throw it back to that.
That's sick. Way before Robot Chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Look up behind you.
That's Seth Green, huh?
Yeah, Seth. He's got that down to a science.
Davey. Yeah, because it was the dog that would talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog sounded dopey as hell. Davey, have you finished rolling that blunt today? Yeah. Wants one.
He looks like he's made of blunt paper.
Dark. <Yeah. laughs> If I could be quite blunt with you about this.
Yeah. I mean, it's a total ripoff of Scooby-Doo, now that you look at it. I mean, the same color scheme and the same collar.
The Lost episodes.
Oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
We just need to get the footage and then dub over like the the voice.
We make it all fucked up now, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Davey, have you dropped acid today?
Yeah.
No, Goliath, why? Because I'm a dog talking to you. Yeah. There's so much Canadiana we were going over. Like stuff that I remember. Like there was these cheap stores growing up. They did one called, there was a store called Byway.
Yeah.
And they gave me these t-shirts that say Byway. They're fucking bomb. And then they, Bargain Heralds was the other one. Yeah. I was really
happy.
Did
you get that one?
I did.
Okay.
I love my Bargain Heralds one.
So these are all like defunct stores like that my company in Toronto, RetroKid, is like, we were trying to figure out what we could do that would make us stand out. So, because everyone's selling shirts. Everyone has merch. Everyone's doing the thing. You know, we weren't like, we weren't lucky to embrace the Kangol first like you did. You claim that.
I kind of did. Yes. Took it by storm.
So we had to do defunct Canadian stores to be fashionable. And surprisingly, it caught on. For whatever reason.
It's dope, that's why. Because people love nostalgia.
Of course.
I always tell people, I even tell my daughter, you need more memories, baby. You need more memories other than your fucking iPad.
Oh,
because
dude.
When you're on your deathbed, all you're left with is your memories. Yeah. And that's probably why, not to get all morbid, but that's probably why dementia is so shitty, because you have no fucking memories left.
Yeah.
You know, that's... But then I had a friend whose father was passing away from that, and I told him, you need to play him music. Mm-hmm. Play him old music. And then a lot of people's memories come back from the music because your brain triggers it. And even if you don't think they have a memory, you play it, and they'll be like, oh, and they start singing along.
Anything to, you know, the brain is such a,
It's very weird.
Undiscovered country, but it's like any little thing that could trigger something to get you back to a place, like music, of course.
Music, you know? And scent would be the two things that trigger the brain to bring you to a particular place.
Yeah, you know Ruben, sure. My friend Ruben.
Yeah.
hold on, there's a fucking, my ride's coming, hold on. Eddie, there's an Uber. Ice agent flying down for you.
You're flying Uber.
Fluber.
Badoopoop.
It's Christmas week, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, has a gift that'll certainly put you in the holiday spirit. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team and win $150 in free bets if they're victorious. It's a great way to put some extra jingle in your pocket. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state, your Christmas can still be merry. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings daily fantasy basketball contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code Peters. Bet just $5 on any NBA team and win $150 in free bets if they're victorious. That's promo code Peters this Christmas week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or PA only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Yes. So Ruben was mentioning to me a long time, his parents both passed away in the 90s, and they died in a car accident, horrible. The long story short is that one of his sister's ex-boyfriends, when they broke up, got really mad and took all of her photos and threw them and burnt them.
Oh, wow.
So he has no fucking photographic memories of his parents anymore.
Oh, my God.
Because his sister had all of them. And so every now and then he'll find, like, he'll get one out of somewhere, and he'll be like, really, imagine what that's like. You have no, like.
Of course, yeah, I can imagine, man.
So we're on the road one time, and he was talking about how his dad used to buy that really cheap cologne, Jean Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Jean Nate? You get it at Kmart and shit. And he couldn't find it anywhere. Eddie found it online for us, and he had ordered it for me, and I gave it to him as a Christmas gift. But I packaged it in such a way that I said, oh, first gift was a box of tissues.
Uh-huh.
He goes, what the fuck is this? I go, open the next one. You're going to need the tissues.
Right.
Oh, my
and
God.
And he started crying.
Of course.
I was like, oh, it's great.
Of course. That scent would bring him right back to his parents, you know?
Yeah, there's all the... there was a story, not a story. This really happened to me about maybe 13 or 14 years ago. We got an email from this family in Toronto saying that their son... had a golfing accident. His son's diabetic, and he was like 17. And one of his friends, he was very diabetic, so they were on the course, and he had to stop by a tree to shoot up some insulin. And his friend hit the fucking ball. The ball ricocheted off the tree and hit the kid in the head. kid took a couple of steps and knocked out, passed out. He was in a coma for like a month. Kid comes out of the coma. He's got full amnesia. Doesn't remember his name. Doesn't remember anything. So they're rehabbing him for the, like the next 6 months. He's in the hospital for first three. Then he comes out and his friends are coming over. They're reintroducing themselves and his family. And he's he's trying to remember them, but he's not. Nothing's clicking. And his friend comes over and goes, hey, you want to watch some TV? Because, yeah, sure, whatever. And they remembered that his favorite special was one of my stand-up specials. So this kid has no memory. They put on my stand-up special. And all of a sudden, the kid remembers my entire act.
Stop playing.
So his family sends me this message. They're like, thank you. You don't understand what you've done. And I'm like, wow, that's so wild. It brought his memory back.
I was just about to ask. That triggered everything.
So when I flew to Toronto, I went to go meet with the kid. I went to his house.
Absolutely.
The kid's name was Joe. And I was cracking jokes with him and stuff. I was like, do you still have me? He goes, yeah, I still, sometimes I go in the kitchen. I don't remember what I went there for. I go, well, that's everybody, I think.
Right.
I don't think that's amnesia. I think that's just everybody. And I go, you ever jerking off and then forget what you're doing? What is this? Get out of my hand. You know, just like. I really want to know how the kid's doing. Joe, if you're ever watching this, let me know how you're doing, buddy. Yeah. Wow. If you remember to call me.
That's so.
Dude, it's been 13 or 14 years. I hope the kid's okay.
You helped him. You helped him jog his memory.
Well, I didn't. I mean, the special did. And it was just wild to get to meet his family and, you know, and brought him to a show and everything. It was nice. Sometimes you don't realize what you're doing in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a famous story about Mel Blanc. He was driving like on Mulholland, I think, back in, gosh, maybe the 60s. And his car flew off like one of like the guardrails. Probably really? There was no guardrail back then. And he was in a coma.
Really?
And he was out for like a little bit. And apparently what brought him back was like the cartoons. Like he wasn't responding as Mel, but responding almost in character as Bugs and others.
Wow.
And it's kind of weird because when they recorded the Flintstones, he was Bonnie Rubble and he was doing this voice and they wanted him to do kind of like an Art Carney.
Yeah, I remember Barney changed voices at one point.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And it's because when he came back out of the coma, he didn't, I guess, kind of recall what he was doing. And then he started doing this voice.
I preferred it that way.
Yeah, same here.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's strange because if you look at the Flintstones, it was kind of like a takeoff on the Honeymooners.
Yes,
and
it was absolutely.
Almost kind of like an Art Carney kind of like send-off.
Oh, yeah, but again, Freddy Boy.
Yeah, again, odd things happen when you're with your memory and your brain and what
brings you out of
it. I'm
surprised
they
never used Mel Blanc on the Match Game, you know, like. This guy voiced so many cartoons.
Right.
Every time he tried to do it, he would draw Mel Blanc.
Yeah.
You got a worse.
I mean, with a name like that.
You got a worse.
Jeez.
He really is. And he loves it.
Yes.
Dude, he's got a million more, I know.
Stick with me, kid. I got more.
Oh, man.
What's the one voice you hate doing?
Oh man!
Not hate, but like your least
liked voice,
least favorite to do because it's like, for whatever reason, it's taxing or whatever. That doesn't mean you don't like the voice. It just means you know.
Right.
I'm whatever.
Or you're tired of doing.
As long as the checklers, I will never get tired of doing voices for sure because that is what keeps me alive.
What about your kid? Does he have a favorite of yours?
He pimps me out. When we
Absolutely.
Go to the he's five, my son. When we
nice.
Go to the playground, he's like, hey, how's it going? I'm Riker, I'm five. My dad's Bugs Bunny. Like immediately.
Hilarious. Nice.
Immediately. And then he's like, do the voice. And then I'm like, what's up, Doc? And he's like, okay, go back to the car.
Yeah. I'll call you when I need you.
That's great because my children could care less who I am.
No, that I know.
They don't even want to hear it. Like, come on, Dad, enough.
Street cred for life.
So
I mean, they got
to have that child that appreciates, that's great.
He's I don't know. I think he's going to be in animation for sure. You could just tell, like.
Is he drawing?
He's drawing all day.
I can't draw worth a shit.
Really? You should have brought out a notepad. I would have taught you how to draw bugs. I could do a tutorial.
Oh, my daughter could have used that.
Really? Anytime.
Yeah, I'm terrible. Oh, man.
I'll bring my kid over for
Michael
J.
Fox draws a straighter line than I do.
What? I forgot there's tons of cameras and microphones.
No, no.
You should want to dip that ash first there. You're sliding ash.
Oh, okay. You tell me now.
Just dab the ash first. I mean,
yeah, I'm canoeing.
Look, I know you got cancer, but that doesn't mean you got to fucking.
Yo, he's the worst, by the way. I mean, for those that didn't know, because he was like, Kang, you can do it, man. I said, come on. Yes, you can, sir.
Yeah.
I was like, really, Russ? Really? Yes, you can, sir.
Well, if that's not a friend, I don't know what is. You still got it? You still fighting it?
I got it. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm still fighting it, man.
How's it going?
It's going. I mean, I did 3 out of 4 rounds of chemo.
And your hair stayed.
That's
incredible.
What? That was one of the first questions I asked.
Mine's falling out without cancer.
Maybe you should get cancer.
I know I should. then I have an excuse. Sorry,
this
guys,
portion
cancer,
of the podcast brought to you by...
No, so I was diagnosed with colon cancer earlier this month. Earlier this year, I said.
This year. He was at my house when we noticed he wasn't looking so good.
I wasn't well. And I went back for the checkup. And we had the conversation. We were talking about, you know, certain signs of this.
Yeah, and I had some of those signs.
You had some of those signs, yeah.
And so, it turns out I was okay.
Yeah, so, you know, when I was diagnosed, I called Russ immediately. Like, bruh, you might want to go get yourself checked right now. Those signs we were talking about.
Yeah, I got spit roasted, though.
Huh?
I got spit roasted. They did the bottom and the top on me. I even told the doctor to put an apple in my mouth.
But I mean, and this is even years after years of annual checkups. I don't know if you know this.
No, I wasn't that guy. I was going to say. Both of us were not.
When you have a Filipino mom like mine.
She a nurse?
No, not a nurse, but she might as well be. My dad is at Scarborough General Monday, Wednesday, Friday for dialysis. So in my family.
Taking it or giving it?
Taking it.
Oh, wow.
And it's one of those things where every time I talk to my mom, and I, you know, not to intrude on your story, it's like.
No, go on.
Did you go to the doctor? Did you get checked? Did you check
your kidneys?
Did you pay your taxes and did you check your kidneys? Yeah.
Wow. In America, they don't play, they'll throw you in jail.
So, and I am like the worst when it comes to that. Almost any time I've ever been to a doctor, it's only because I go back for Christmas in Canada for a checkup. But
for
so
free.
Now you're going.
Yeah, well, look, my situation was, you know, we self-diagnose ourselves.
Of course.
You know, before we go to the doctor, you know, because what the sign that that Russ and I were talking about is when you wipe, when you use the bathroom, you wipe and you'd see blood.
Sure.
And so the self-diagnosing is, you know, that burrito, you know, those spices.
Oh, yeah.
My hemorrhoids are acting.
Hemorrhoids, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know, maybe I pushed a little too hard. You come up with all these, you know, reasons. And some of those reasons are true. It's possible, you know.
Yeah.
But
and you're young.
Yeah.
I'm young. You know. You don't have to worry about that
right.
stuff.
I finally did. After all of that, of course, it's like, okay, I think it's time to make that happen. And it was definitely an episode that I went through that I said, okay, stop playing. Go get yourself checked. And what that was is I'm in the privacy of my own, you know, room, and I had to pass gas. And so I let it out, and it came out with substance. And I said, yo.
Did you shart?
That's what I said to myself. I'm like, did I just shart? So I ran to the bathroom.
Hope
to go
you weren't
check
wearing
this
the white
out.
Pants.
And hilarious. And it was a bloody mucus.
Oh, wow.
You know, it looked like you got punched in the nose and blew your nose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I said, okay, stop playing. Go to the doctor and see what this is. No pain. I wasn't, you know, ill or anything. I didn't feel anything that led to any of this. When I saw that is when I, you know, went to get myself checked.
Thank God you did.
Yeah. And when they checked me, they said, you know, the doctor, female doctor said, she's been doing this for 30 years and we will get the official results at the end of the week. But I can tell you right now, it's cancer. And I was like, get out of here. Like, wait for the result. I'm
not
hearing this.
Huh? Was it aggressive?
It was stage 3.
Damn, son.
Yeah, stage 3. So they removed the tumor. What they said is out of 13 lymph nodes, I believe I said that correctly.
Lymph.
Lymph nodes.
Nodes.
One penetrated the colon wall, and they have no idea where it is, and it may manifest itself into another form of cancer in, you know, 4 or 5 years. And so they're putting me through chemo as a precautionary, right?
Sure.
To catch it wherever it is before it becomes something else.
You feel sick after?
Chemo makes you sick, bro.
Like
my manager, who passed away from chemo many years ago,
from chemo,
said to me, no, I'm sorry, from cancer many years ago, said to me, I was fine until they started curing me.
Yeah.
Because the chemo is the killer. Because
it makes you feel.
Chemo is the killer, man. Like I said, I felt no pain. I wasn't sick, you know, with this. It wasn't until they removed it and they're treating me for it. Now I'm sick. I'm like, yo, I was fine.
Right.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I did 3 rounds, 3 out of 4, and I was shooting a movie about 2 months ago, and I was a trooper during, you know, when the director said action, I did my thing. When he said cut, I ran to the corner and was laying on the couch.
My God.
I couldn't do it. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And I had another big production coming up a month after that, and I said, there is no way I'm going to take this fourth round and be able to complete this project that I'm getting ready to do. So I paused.
Yeah.
And so I just completed that project. Month of August has been real busy for me. So I said, okay, I'll go back and finish that last round. What I inquired, you know, with the doctors about is, can you guys check me? I did 3 out of 4. Maybe you got what you were looking for and I don't have to do the fourth. And they said they're not doing any evaluation until after I finish the fourth.
So you got one left.
I got one more to go.
And that's pretty much standard then.
How long do you feel sick for?
Well, the regimen was... I take the IV, and then I take pills for 2 weeks. 4 pills in the morning, 4 pills at night for 2 weeks, chemo pills.
Right.
So I'm basically on chemo for 2 weeks.
Right.
And then I take a week off, and then I go back to the IV, and that begins the following round.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for 3 rounds. I was a trooper on the first and second. I said, oh, this is chemo. I got this. I can do this. It wasn't until the third that I felt like I wanted to throw up. But nothing was coming up either end.
Just the heaving.
It just stayed right there.
Just that fucking sick feeling.
Yo, it was disgusting, man. And there were other, you know, things that I went through. For example, I couldn't touch anything cold.
Oh, it's all too cold?
They said there's, you know, just something with your nerves. And you know, I would forget. I'll go in the refrigerator to get something, and I'll grab a can of whatever, and I'm screaming like a biatch.
Just your pinched nerves.
Because it feels like a million needles just went right into the palm of my hand.
Wow.
You know, so it's, you know, other symptoms, my skin complexion changed. I started to get darker. The palms of my hand.
Summer.
The palm, excuse me?
It's summertime.
No. No, trust me. It had nothing to do with that. In fact, they asked me to stay out of the sun.
Really? Yeah, that's what I hear.
You know.
Because you become very sensitive to everything.
You know, it's crazy, man. It's not, you know, I understand it's designed to aid you or whatever, but, yo, that kills you. It's like you're dying to live. And again, I'm not out of the woods yet. So I have to go
When's
back for
this fourth round starting.
I'm going to start it next month,
September.
Yeah, I'm going to do it in September, and you know, do the reevaluation and see where I stand and what the deal is. And you know, I'm a trooper, so I'll you know, I want to live, but it's the dying part to live that's killing me.
Right.
And as prolific as that sound, it's so real. That's exactly.
Were the boys with you during all this?
They visited, yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, these motherfuckers.
But no,
fucking
I had some of my, you know, closest friends with me through this. And again, I was a trooper. So, you know, I became like this new look of what cancer, you know, looks like. And I didn't wear what was going on inside on the outside.
Well, except for your Instagram, you would post and...
Well, I was posting to let everyone know.
I was like, this motherfucker is depressing me on his Instagram. I'm like, Jesus.
You know, so I'm going to share with everyone where it's at.
Change name to Cancer Kid. Jesus.
You become a Cancer Kid. With a K?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, K with a K. It's cancer with a K, of course. I mean, not an idiot, you know.
You got... But you become the ambassador and make people aware. I know a voiceover artist in our field, Rob Paulson, had like throat cancer. Never smoked a cigar or a cigarette in his life.
How do you get that from
doing
any?
Wow! But I remember not hearing from him or not seeing him after a while. But he started the therapy, and then of course, when you see him, he was just like half his size, and he was already a small guy.
Yeah, I was losing a lot of weight as well.
Yeah, you did get very frail looking.
So it's
I'm
amazing.
I'm glad you gained it back.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're
about
tough,
to lose
man.
It again. I'm about to lose it again because I'm about to go back in and do this other round. So,
but yeah, he had throat cancer of all the things. a voiceover artist that
yeah,
never
it's
smoked.
Almost like the one, like DOC, the rapper DOC, remember?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All
but, that was
shit.
But that was an accident, though.
All the things you could lose,
right.
The one thing that you make
right.
your money from.
Yeah, man, right, right.
It's like a runner losing a foot. You're like, what the
right.
fuck is this?
Right, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could have lost an elbow. No, I had to lose a fucking foot.
Yeah, so he was like not eating and having the shakes, but he is back on stage performing, you know.
Oh, his voice is back and everything?
Yeah, he's Yakko Werner on Animaniacs and
nice.
Pinky from Pinky and the Brain, nice. those mice. Yeah. Yeah. Rob Paulsen.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
He's a legend. But yeah, he has survived much like yourself and will continue to thrive, so...
This is a pretty depressing way to end this one, I'll tell
you
that. Fucking Kangol Kid, Jesus.
End of our cigars, whatever. Kangol Kid shows up.
I'm here.
Yeah, that's all, folks. Yeah, that's how the only way you can end
at your
it,
funeral, right? We'll say that.
Well, no. Oh my
you're
God.
The worst, bro.
Wait, his or mine? I don't know who you're
his,
looking
his.
At. Okay, okay.
Abby, that's all, folks. Hey, the wabbit kicked the bucket.
Wabbit kicked the bucket. Wabbit kicked the bucket.
The bucket kicked the wabbit.
See, Looney Tunes, man, it always brings it back to a happy, lighter place. And
did they keep the same song?
Oh yeah.
But I mean, did they update it? Because I like the old sound, the tinny kind of...
They, like, if you watch Looney Tunes cartoons on HBO Max, ours is a complete throwback to like, the early days of Looney Tunes, minus the racism. So, yeah.
I mean, the racism's what made it good.
Yo, I was just talking about Looney Tunes earlier, man. They canceled Pepe Le Pew, bro.
That is correct, because, you know, he took no for no answer. So, yeah. The lawyers are outside. Yeah.
It's true, though. Pepe Le Pew was kind of creepy, though.
Here's the thing about Pepe that everyone forgets.
It's a cartoon! Well,
no, I mean, it's a cartoon, but the whole bit at the first 2 minutes of every Pepe cartoon, he is a skunk that walks by flowers that, and then the flowers drop dead because his ass smells. And right. No one wants to be hugged by a skunk. And then he gets a little handsy, but people often forget when he gets covered in paint and that white stripe goes away, or he gets doused with perfume, the cat becomes the aggressor and he becomes the aggressor.
I forgot that. You're so right.
People and then only the cat would walk underneath the white paint and get the stripe on her back.
Right, right. So people forget, like, there was a balance to it all. And again, unfortunately for the ladies back in the day, that's what the behavior was accepted when... A guy threw himself at you. That was the style and that was the thing. You know, like almost every black and white film, there's a guy holding a lady, you know.
And calling them dames.
That was the thing.
Wasn't he a dame?
But this is what I can agree and attest to for today. If you're going to change it, you can. He's a fictional character.
Yeah. Right.
And you look at a character like Harlequin that has a character for a preschool audience, a preteen audience, a teen audience, and an Adult Swim animated audience.
Is that Harley Quinn? Or
Harley Quinn. Like the Warner Brothers DC character,
right.
And a rated R movie. So if you took a character like Pepe Le Pew, you could go cross-platform, and if you wanted to address it in an adult arena,
right.
You could.
Right, right.
So, you know, that's the only thing I'll
they
say about
that. They shut him down, bro. Come on.
LeBron would have no part of it.
No French. There would be
that
no French
is part
ghosts.
Of my childhood.
Yeah.
Tiptoe by the window, through the tulips.
Yeah.
The tulips. Yeah. Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, let's not. That's how he got killed.
Pepe Le Pew was always literally chasing pussy.
What?
Yeah, literally.
Literally.
It was a cat. It was chasing pussy.
Chasing cat.
He never found a female skunk. That was the weird part.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. That's true. That's true. If you're just joining us, it's Kangol Kid and Ken Jeong with Russell Peters. in case I get canceled. So.
Ken Jeong Kid. And for the people at Warner Brothers and all the people that hire Eric Bauza, he has nothing to do with what we're bringing up here. This is all my idea.
It's fine.
So cancel me. Don't cancel
no,
him.
No. You just got on Velma. We got to keep you on that show.
That's fine. Right. I'm worried about your career. I'm not worried about mine. I'm an empath.
Oh, dude.
In a very weird way.
Yeah.
I'm the least empathetic empath you've met, but I'm an empath.
Well, you're Canadian, so.
That's what it is. He's Haitian, so.
I am.
Are you? You're not sticking around Los Angeles, are you?
I'm leaving tomorrow morning.
Because we're doing a fundraiser for Haiti.
Oh, wow.
Me and Ruben.
Oh,
and
man.
On the 30th at the Laugh Factory. It's going to be me, George Lopez, Cedric the Entertainer, D.L. Hughley.
Wow.
And I could probably come back.
You should because you're Haitian.
Yeah.
He's Haitian. It would be nice to have another Haitian on board, maybe if you down to spit a verse or two.
I actually, because of Wyclef, I wrote my verse of Roxanne Roxanne in Creole because he said to me...
You did tell me that.
Yeah, he said, if you are truly Haitian, sing Roxanne Roxanne in Creole right now. And I was stumped because I had never done that before. So I said, he's never catching me like that again. And I went home and rewrote it.
Kango.
Yeah, he said, Kango, Mr.
Monsieur Sophisticate.
I forgot how I said this. That machine mwe you dam so mzil alo mse can't go on you TFO leads him so mzi so mse zim dio oh mka shante mgada say on you sell show. Yeah, I did that. I went home and said, nah, he's never catching me like that again.
So the new voice of Pepe Le Pew should be
yeah, can't get go me canceled, kid. Why don't you?
No, you could bring him. You could bring him back in a good way, man. Kango Le Pew. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, trust me.
I think that name stinks. Yeah.
Especially,
yeah. Yeah.
Especially when he sharts.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Wow.
This was a good episode. I think it turned out fine despite Kango's morbid.
I hate you.
You know what? We were just so up on our Canadian selves that Kango came back and brought it back down to earth. Yeah. And
he really Americaned this one up for us. We made a negative and
we were gonna give you a passport and everything. And no.
Darn.
We appreciate you and everything you've done. In your career and today, just today. I had no idea. Did you know that he was coming?
I didn't know. Oh, I forgot he was coming.
Okay.
and so did he. That's why he has four kids. But
wow.
Yeah, ejaculation.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And on that note.
Or on those nodes.
Oh, my God.
I hate him.
I want to thank everybody for tuning into this episode of Culturally Canceled with myself, Russell Peters, my special guest, Eric Bowser, the man of a thousand voices, the new man of a thousand voices, and Kango Kid, the man of a thousand diseases. Please.
Damn. Damn.
Brother, no one's safe on this podcast.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you when I see you.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.